You are listening to Long Innings, brought to you by Cricket Next.
You're tuned into Long Innings, brought to you by Cricket Next, and this is Supriya with you.
On this Long Innings podcast, we take a look at the greatest upsets in cricketing history.
Cricket is a game of glorious uncertainties. A former Test cricketer, Asif Iqbal from Pakistan, used to say that a game of cricket is never over until the last run has been scored or the last wicket has been taken. While that statement is probably an exaggeration, there is no denying the fact that there have been times in history when a team has looked out for the count in a test or a series but has staged a miraculous recovery and snatched victory from the jaws of certain defeat. In other cases, heading into a series, a team could be huge underdogs due to its position in the test rankings, the vast gulf in ability between the players of those two teams, the record of a team in that particular country, home advantage, etc. If the team which is the underdog wins the test, it is still considered as an upset win because of the above reasons, even though the lesser team might have dominated most of the test. That is why Sri Lanka's win over South Africa in the first test at Kingsmead in Durban was one of the greatest upsets in cricketing history. Sri Lanka had just been at the receiving end of thrashings in Australia and New Zealand, while South Africa had won 7 straight test series at home. No Asian team had ever won a test series in the Rainbow Nation, and Sri Lanka's batsmen weren't in particularly good form. Moreover, South Africa had set Sri Lanka a target of 304. Sri Lanka had chased a target in excess of 304 only thrice in their test history and had never chased a target in excess of 197 outside the subcontinent. They were 9 wickets down for 226 and still needed 78 runs to win. Prior to that test, the maximum partnership for the 10th wicket to win a test in the 4th innings was 57. Therefore, taking all these factors into account, Sri Lanka's win should rank as one of the greatest upsets of all time, and the unbeaten 153 by Kusal Pereira is considered one of the greatest innings of all time. This gave them the confidence to win the next test and become the first Asian team to win a test series in South Africa. In this podcast, we look at some of the greatest wins in test history. England vs Australia, third test at Headingley in Leeds from 16th to 21st July 1981. Result, England won by 29 runs. Australia had trounced England 3-0 in the last series in Australia in the 1979-80 season and had drawn the centenary test in England in 1980. They toured England for a 6-test series in 1981 and were expected to do well. Australia won the first test at Trent Bridge in Nottingham by 4 wickets and drew the second test at Lord's. In the third test, Australia won the toss and elected to bat first. They scored 401 for 9, declared, with their opener John Dyson scoring 102 and useful contributions from Kim Hughes and Graham Yallop, who scored 89 and 59 respectively. Ian Botham took 6 wickets, conceding just 95 runs. In reply, England were bowled out for just 174, with only Botham scoring an even 50 and conceded a 227-run lead to Australia. The Aussie skipper Kim Hughes had no hesitation in enforcing the follow-on, as there was a rest day in tests in those days. Moreover, the wicket had a lot of assistance for the bowlers, and in the 104-year history of tests, only one team had won a test after being asked to follow on. In England's second innings, they were 135 for 7 when Graham Dilley joined Botham at the crease. At this stage, England needed 92 runs to avoid an innings defeat, and an early finish looked on the cards. Since they had nothing to lose, Botham decided to chance his arm and was given good support by Dilley. At that stage, England's primary concern must have been to avoid the embarrassment of an innings defeat. Both Botham and Dilley opened out and put on a 117 runs partnership in just 80 minutes, scoring at a rate that was almost unheard of in those days. After Dilley's departure, Chris Old joined Botham, who tore England's attack apart with a combination of some agricultural slogs and clean hitting. England were bowled out for 356, with Botham remaining unbeaten on 149 off just 148 balls, setting Australia a target of 130, which gave the bowlers something to bowl at. Bob Willis took 8 for 43 as Australia were bundled for 111 to lose by 18 runs. They were so demoralised by this defeat that they lost the next test at Edgbaston by 29 runs from a winning position. England won the series 3-1, and it is no exaggeration to say that Australia's spirit was broken by Botham's all-round show in this test. This series was known as Botham's series, and his exploits single-handedly won England the series. New Zealand versus West Indies. First test, Carisbrook, Dunedin, 8th to 13th February 1980. Result, New Zealand won by 1 wicket. After the 5-1 drubbing in Australia in the 1975-1976 season, the West Indies, led by Clive Lloyd, won 4 out of the next 5 series, only losing to India away from home in the 1978-79 season. They even beat the mighty Aussies twice during this period, both at home and away from home. Prior to the series against New Zealand away from home, they had played the Kiwis just 4 times in Test history and had not lost even a single series. So they were overwhelming favourites in the series. West Indies won the toss and opted to take first strike. There was a lot of lateral movement and this was exploited by the Kiwi bowlers. They were bowled out for just 140 with Richard Hadlee, who was one of the premier all-rounders in world cricket, taking 5 for 34. In New Zealand's reply, Hadlee shone with the bat as well, scoring a belligerent 51 in just 63 balls, studded with 9 fours. His partnership of 64 for the 8th wicket with Lance Cairns helped the Kiwis get a sizeable lead of 109. In West Indies' second innings, Hadlee once again came to the party, taking 6 wickets for just 68 runs. West Indies were bowled out for just 212, with Desmond Haynes scoring a century. Only 3 other batsmen reached double figures. New Zealand needed 104 runs to win the test but were reduced to 44 for 6 when Hadlee arrived at the crease. He scored a vital 17 as New Zealand triumphed by 1 wicket. Hadlee had 7 batsmen trapped LBW in the match, which was a world record, and he became just the 3rd Kiwi to take twin 5 wicket hauls and score a 50 in the same test. Hadlee's all-round show helped the Kiwis take a 1-0 lead in the series. They drew the next 2 tests to win the series 1-0. In the second test, Hadlee took 3 wickets and scored a century, and in the 3rd test, he took 5 wickets. His all-round show helped the Kiwis win the series. West Indies were unbeaten in the next 29 test series, which shows the enormity of the achievement by New Zealand. Australia versus West Indies, second test at Kingston, Jamaica, 13th to 16th March 1919. Result, West Indies won by 10 wickets. Australia had been the premier team in the world since they beat the West Indies away from home in 1995, and West Indies were a team that was in terminal decline. In the first test at Port of Spain, Trinidad, the Aussies had won by a mammoth 312 runs, with West Indies suffering the ignominy of being bowled out for 51 in the 4th innings. In the second test, Australia batted first and were dismissed for 256. In reply, West Indies were tottering at 34 for 4. The night watchman Pedro Collins retired hurt with the score at 56. If Brian Lara had fallen cheaply, there was a great possibility that West Indies would have lost the series 4-0. However, Lara played an innings of such brilliance that it is etched in the cricketing folklore. He struck McGill for 2 sixes in an over and hit Greg Blewett for 4 consecutive fours. He scored 231 off just 344 balls, studded with 3 sixes and 28 fours to help the Windies reach a total of 431, giving them lead of 175. Australia were bowled out for 177 in their second innings and West Indies knocked off the 3 runs to win by 10 wickets. Lara was adjudged the man of the match. In the next test at Bridgetown, Barbados, West Indies were set a target of 308 in the 4th innings and Lara once again came to the fore. West Indies were 248 for 8 with only Kirtley Ambrose and Courtney Walsh left in the hut. Lara shepherded the 2 and his unbeaten 153 helped West Indies win by 1 wicket. He was once again adjudged the man of the match and helped the West Indies take an unassailable 2-1 lead in the 4 test series. West Indies lost the next test by 176 runs and the series was tied at 2 apiece. Lara was adjudged the man of the series, and if not for his all-round show, West Indies would have struggled to win even a single test, let alone share the spoils. Sri Lanka vs South Africa, second test, Pisara Oval, Colombo, 4th to 8th August 2006. Result, Sri Lanka won by 1 wicket. Prior to this series, Sri Lanka had played 6 test series against South Africa and had won just 1 series, lost 4 and drawn 1. They had won just 2 out of 15 tests against the Proteas prior to the home series against South Africa at home in July 2006. Even though the series was being played in Sri Lanka, South Africa were no pushovers as they had a reputation of travelling well. South Africa were bowled out for 169 in the first innings of the first test and Sri Lanka replied with 756 for 5 declared. Mahila Jayawardhane and Kumar Sangakkara scored 374 and 287 respectively. Jayawardhane's 374 still remains the highest score by a Sri Lankan in tests. The duo put on a world record partnership of 624 and Sri Lanka won by an innings and 153 runs. However, this innings was not Jayawardhane's most important knock in the series. Since this was a two-test series, a loss in the next test would have undone all the hard work. The second test was played at the Pisara Oval in Colombo. South Africa set Sri Lanka a target of 352 in the fourth innings, which was a Herculean task as Sri Lanka is not a country where huge totals are chased down in the fourth innings. Prior to this innings, a target in excess of 200 had been chased down just twice in Sri Lanka, and 352 looked a very daunting task. The Lankans were always in the hunt and Mahila led the way with a masterful century, even though they kept losing wickets at regular intervals. His 123 took them close to the target and they finally scraped home by one wicket to win the series 2-0. If the Lankans had lost the test, as they would have without Mahila's batting masterclass, the series would have ended in a disappointing 1-1 draw and deflated the Lankans, who had trounced South Africa in the first test. Mahila was named the man of the match for his innings. Jayawardhane's 501 runs in the series was the fifth most number of runs ever scored by a batsman in a two-test series. And these knocks helped Sri Lanka win a tricky series against a formidable opponent. Pakistan vs. Australia, first test, National Stadium, Karachi, 28th September to 2nd October 1994. Result, Pakistan won by one wicket. Australia had a new captain in Mark Taylor and Shane Warne was considered the best leg spinner in the world. He was a prodigious spinner of the ball and with the wickets in the subcontinent aiding spin, he was expected to be a nightmare to face in the fourth innings. In addition to Warne, Australia had good bowlers in Craig McDermott, Damien Fleming and Tim May. Therefore, even though the series was being played in Pakistan, Australia were marginal favourites. Pakistan was set a target of 314 to win and Warne was expected to weave his magic and bowl Australia to a victory. Salim Malik was considered by many experts as a fine player of spin and to this day, most pundits consider the way he handled Warne in this three-test series to be one of the best displays of batsmanship against spin that they have ever witnessed. Malik was dismissed for 26 and 43 in the two innings in this match but he played Warne adroitly. His dismissal in the fourth innings sparked a mini-collapse to leave Pakistan reeling at 184 for 7. Pakistan were 9 down for 258 and Australia looked to have the game in the bag. However, Inzimam ul Haq put on a then-record unbeaten 57-run partnership for the 10th wicket with Mushtaq Ahmed to win the match for Pakistan. The reason Malik's innings is mentioned is that he made a useful contribution to get Pakistan a 1-0 lead. In the next test at Rawalpindi, Australia had a lead of 261 after the first innings and asked Pakistan to follow on. However, Malik played a brilliant knock of 237 to steer Pakistan out of troubled waters. He was adjudged the man of the match. In the third test at Lahore, Malik scored 75 and 143 and Pakistan drew the match to clinch the series 1-0. Malik was adjudged the man of the match and the joint man of the series with Shane Warne. While Sachin Tendulkar, Brian Lara and Kevin Peterson have all dominated Warne at times in tests by attacking him, Malik just played him normally without losing his wicket to him in any of the six innings. If not for Malik's stellar displays with the bat in the second and third tests and his vital knock in the first test, Australia would have clinched the series. Malik was not as flamboyant a batsman as Syed Anwar and Inzimam ul Haq but equally effective. While Pakistan had an equal chance ahead of the series, Malik's handling of Warne in the entire series helped Pakistan to hold on the hard-earned lead from the first test. To put things in perspective, Pakistan lost the next six test series to Australia.
This podcast was brought to you by Cricket Next. Thanks for tuning in.